Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Samuel chapter 30. We're in a current Sunday school series dealing with the treasures of darkness, that sometimes the very worst things that can possibly happen to us can turn out to be the very greatest things that ever happened to us because they draw us close to the Lord. They show us of our need of a Savior. They show us where we need to be corrected and that God can do something in our life. And as we've been going through this Sunday school series, it's been a great help to a lot of folks. Many people have been giving comments and listening to them, the replays on the internet, and we're glad that they've been an encouragement, and that's what they were intended to do, to be an encouragement. As we come to the book of 1 Samuel, that's back in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel in chapter number 30, we come to one of David's darkest days. As God is leading him to where he's supposed to be, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 30. So, if you're in the beginning of your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, then we go to the book of Judges, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and then we come to the book of 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel in chapter number 30. If you don't mind, notice with me in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30, and notice with me starting at verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amorites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive, and where therein they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people were grieved, and every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them all, and without fail recover all. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30? The book of 1 Samuel chapter 30 in verse number 6, notice the phrase, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now as we come to this darkest time in David's life, it's good to get some context to understand where things are going. That David is right now on the run from King Saul. But that's not where he started. He started off as a shepherd boy out in the middle of the field. And one day, his family members came and said, David, you're needed back in the house. There's someone important for you to talk to you. And David said, okay. And he left the sheep with a keeper and came back. And he found that Samuel, the priest or the prophet, was waiting for him in his house. And so his brothers were looking at him. He steps in. Everyone's kind of staring at him. And he says, what's going on, guys? And Samuel came over and anointed him with oil and said, you are going to be the next king of Israel. Now, David's about 17 years old. Could you imagine coming in from work and everyone waiting for you? The preacher comes in and says, guess what? You're going to be the next king of Israel. Well, that's a lot to take in, isn't it? That God had anointed him, that he is going to be the king of Israel. So David says, all right, if that's what the Lord's will is, that's fine. And David doesn't do anything to make himself king. He just follows what the Lord gives him to do. As time goes on, he's asked to go to the palace. and he's been known for playing beautiful music. And King Saul, as he has nightmares and he has an evil spirit, he asked David to come, and David would play, and the music would calm him down. And he was starting to make his way into the palace. Next thing you know, there's a giant by the name of Goliath who's standing in the Valley of Elah. And he's saying, send me out a champion. And what we'll do, instead of all of our armies fight, your champion fight me. If I win, you guys are our slaves. If you guys win, we're your servants. And he shouted and cursed God, and nobody did anything. Finally, David was sent by his father to go check on the progress of everything, and everyone's scared, and he's saying, what's the matter? Is there not a cause? He hears Goliath give his challenge, and he says, he's challenging our God. He's saying our God's nothing. Doesn't someone stand up for him? Doesn't someone go out? Where's everybody at? He's upset that no one would stand. You see, Goliath wasn't just saying your kingdom's awful. He's saying your God's awful. And he's saying, come on, isn't someone going to do something? And no one did a thing. So David said, fine, I'll go fight him. And so they said, well, okay, this little shepherd boy wants to go fight. No one else wants to go, so might as well send him. And they try to put him in some armor and a sword. And he says, hey, I've never used armor and a sword. This isn't, I go out and I use a slingshot. If I go out to battle with weapons I'm not familiar with, I'm going to die. Forget this. So he goes out and he picks 5 round stones and gets his slingshot, and he goes out there. Here's a 9-foot giant standing out there, and here's a little 17-year-old snot-nosed shepherd boy come out. And the giant laughs and says, is this what you think of me, that you're sending out this little boy to go fight me? And David said, hey, God's going to take care of you. You challenge God. We're doing it so that all the earth may know that there's a God. And so Goliath swore on his gods, and David said, no, God's going to show you. And next thing you know, as they're getting ready to fight, David throws a slingshot, hits Goliath right in the head, knocks him down. Then David takes Goliath's old sword and chops off his head. And everybody started running after the Philistines. Afterwards, there was a great thing of people cheering and singing David's praises. But once again, David has not done anything himself to become the king of Israel. He's just following the path given to him. He didn't go out there with a mind that if I kill Goliath, I'm going to be king. He was out there defending God's honor. He hasn't done anything to become king. Well, Saul began to watch this little shepherd boy, and he began to get jealous. He says, man, people like David better than me. I'm the king, but they like him better than me. And his jealousy grew and grew until finally he couldn't stand it no more. And he tried to kill David. Several times he tried to kill David. There's a time he took a javelin and threw it, and God just made it miss. And David said, I don't think he likes me. And he ran. Now, he could have defended himself. He could have raised up an army, but he did not. He went to hide in some caves in Adullam near the Dead Sea. And he was content to be there by himself and just kind of hide out and say, well, this isn't working out the way. God told me I was supposed to be king, but now I'm hiding out in the caves. How come this isn't working out? And as he was hiding in these caves, he heard a sound outside, and then he sees some fingers and sees some people climbing up to the cave where he's at. And people begin to join David, those that were oppressed by the government, those that were betrayed by the government, those who had an odd against Saul, those who are bandits, they begin to join with David. And David began to collect a group of mighty men. Well, Saul declared war on David and began to try to chase him, try to kill him. And David said, you know, he had the opportunity to kill Saul, and he chose not to, because he said that the Bible says I'm not supposed to touch God's anointed. I'm not going to touch that biblical authority over me. I'm not going to touch him. Again, David didn't do a single thing, didn't lift a single finger to become king. He said, I'm going to let God take care of this. He's been hiding in caves. He's been on the run for about 10 years. Can you imagine being on the run with a warrant on your life for 10 years, hiding, running, just staying out of the way? That's not where David expected to be. He probably had flashbacks of the time. You're going to be king of Israel. Now he's running from the government and everyone wants to kill him. Well, he decides that he's going to join up with the Philistines, which probably wasn't a wise idea. But there came a time when the Philistines decided they were going to fight against Israel once again. And David said, well, I've already committed to join the Philistines. Might as well. And the Philistines said, no. You know how many of those Philistines David has killed? David has already killed over 2,000 Philistines himself. That's a big number, isn't it? The Philistine says, do you really want this guy fighting on your side in the midst of battle against the Israelites? He'll probably turn on us. Now, David would be loyal, but they said, nah, let's not have David. So David's now rejected from his own country. He's rejected from a country he wanted to join up with. And so him and his band of men decide they're going to go back to their home base of Ziklag. And this is where we caught up here. Now, remember, David was told he was going to be king, but instead of being king, he's been on a run for over 10 years. Instead of being king, he's rejected from his home country and other countries. Instead of being king, he's traveling with a band of mercenaries, outlaws, rejects, and he's doing the best he can. So as they try to ride back to Ziklag, notice back with me in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it came to pass that David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, and that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. So when David is with the Philistines, and the Philistines are saying, no, we don't want you to fight, they come back, takes 3 days of travel, and they could almost see that as they're riding back, smoke on the horizon. Some people begin to panic. They begin to ride towards it. And they find their entire city, their home base, is burned with fire. Everything they owned, gone. What made it worse, verse number 2. And had taken, the Amalekites, had taken the women captive and therein, and they slew not any, nor great nor small, nor carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Notice in verse 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. So here's David. They come back to the city, and him, not just him, but all of his men that are with him. He's traveling with a bunch of men. Their wives are gone. Their kids are gone. And they don't know what happened to them. They don't know where they went. They don't know if they're safe. They don't know what those savages are doing to them. They have no idea. And the men wept until they could not cry anymore. This is truly a dark day for David. This is truly a time here. Now, the name of our Sunday school lesson here is The Road to Jerusalem Goes to Ziklag. Remember, Jerusalem is going to be the capital city of the Israelite territory. And that's the place where God said, you're going to be king. You're going to be king at Jerusalem. But in order to get to Jerusalem, he has to go through this place of Ziklag. Now, if you look on a map, you could see Ziklag is nowhere near the road to Jerusalem. It's the opposite direction. But God has worked in his life. Do you know that God knows what you have to go through? God knows what we need to bring us to the place where he could use us. We call this God's unconscious preparation. That there are choices we make for ourselves, but there are choices that God makes for us. For example, you didn't choose who your parents were going to be. You didn't choose where you're going to be born. You didn't choose when you're going to be born. Just like your birth, there are some things in life that you choose for yourself. And there's some other things in your life that God chooses for you that you would have never chosen for yourself. Some tragedy, some hard times, some things that occur. But do you know that God uses those tragedies in our life to bring us to the place where we're usable? Ziklag was one of David's places where God brought him through a place of tragedy. So that way David could become usable. David did not choose Ziklag. You know, if you went to David and said, David, how would you like for your city to be burned, your wives to be kidnapped, your kids to be taken? How would you like that? Does that sound good? He probably wouldn't be jumping up in joy and say, yeah, that's what I want. But even though David didn't choose that, God chose it for him. because God knew what was necessary to bring David to the place where he could become the king that God promised him. As we go through here, let's see about this road. First of all, at Ziklag, we encourage ourselves in the Lord. At Ziklag, we encourage ourselves in the Lord. Notice as we go on. So David arrives with his men. They get to Ziklag. They realize everything's gone. Their property, their houses, their possessions are gone. Their families are gone. They are left with nothing. Just ruins, smoky ruins, all gone. So notice in verse 6. And David was greatly distressed. You'd be greatly distressed too. Verse number 6 again. For the people spake of stoning him. Now, can you imagine? These are people that have been traveling with him for almost 10 years. And they said, you know what? We're tired of this David guy. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be in this mess. And they thought about killing him so that way they could turn him over to King Saul and say, hey, we captured David for you. Let us live. Can you imagine the people ready to turn on David and kill him because they're so brokenhearted? When people's emotions get involved, anything's capable right now. So David, the people are thinking about stoning him because the soul of all the people were grieved, and every man for his sons and his daughters. But notice this, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself to the Lord. When we come to Ziklag, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord, meaning that there's nowhere else to lean on. You have to get your encouragement not from other people. You don't get your encouragement from a support system. You get your encouragement from the Lord. Part of what God does in our life is he brings us to the place where we have to learn to get our peace, our happiness, our joy, our encouragement from God and not someone else. Do you understand that your husband or your wife cannot satisfy you like Jesus? Your job cannot satisfy you like Jesus. Your children, as precious as they are, will not give you the satisfaction and the peace and happiness that you need in Jesus. Let me tell you, sometimes your church will not give you the peace and encouragement that you need. Heaven forbid, sometimes maybe your pastor may fail you. But God will never fail you. And part of bringing you to the place where you are usable by God, to get you to the place where God said, this is where I want you, is to come through a place in your life where you realize you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. You have to learn to go to God to get your encouragement when there's nothing encouraging going on. If you went to David and said, come on, David, put a smile on your face. It's all going to work out. He'd probably punch you in the face, right? Have you been in a place where someone lovingly put their arm around you and said, it's going to be all right, and you felt like decking them?
Yep.
I mean, that's not the encouragement you need. It's all going to work out. Sometimes those words are not ones you want to hear. People sometimes cannot be the encouragement you need. You have to learn to get your encouragement from God, to be able to look up at him, to seek after him. Now, how do we encourage ourselves in the Lord? Well, you do this by meditating on God's word, by spending time with him, to think about what God has done before for people, what he's done in the past. You have to get your eyes on the Lord, to realize that he is always good and he is always right. David wrote in the Psalms that I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Now, he didn't say, I saw that things were good. He said, I just had to believe that God was good. That's why I didn't quit. You know, God can put you in a place where it doesn't seem anything good is going on. But doesn't mean that we get the poochy lip disease and say, well, I have the purpose. I could go, man, God's not good. God's not right. You have to learn that God is good and God is right no matter what the circumstances. Amen. And you have to learn to go to him and encourage yourself in the Lord. You know, that's part of the Christian growth. As a young Christian, you could have other people come up and encourage you. But there's a time in your life where you have to learn to stand for yourself and you have to learn to go to God and seek after him to get your encouragement, to go to God and to seek after him to get what you need to take another step. God has always proven himself. God is able. At Ziklag, when we get alone, there's no one else but God. But then we realize he is the greater way. We go to him in the first place. That it's part of our growing process is to encourage ourselves in the Lord. To realize no matter what the circumstances are, we can go up to God and still get the encouragement we need. Not only at Ziklag do we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord, but at Ziklag, we die to self. At Ziklag, we die to self. Notice in verse 6 again. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved. You know, think about this. How would you like to be David, who has been rejected? I'm told to be king, but it hasn't happened. Saul the king's tried to kill me. I've been running for my life for 10 years. I've been rejected. I come here, everything's burned up. And then you start to hear the rumors. Maybe he's walking by and he's hearing a couple guys saying, you know what? We should just kill him and get it over with. Let's just take him outside and we'll stone him. And then we won't have to be on the run like this anymore. What would you do if you heard someone talking to you about you about that? You probably wouldn't be going, amen, praise the Lord, when you're walking out. The people started speaking and he heard about it. He heard the rumors. Maybe someone came up and said, David, I don't know how to tell you this, but there's been a rumbling in the camp and they're really upset and they're thinking about stoning you. What do you do with news like that? I mean, these are the people, your compadres. You can't go snap and go yell at them, right? Especially when there's more of them than you, there are you right now. What do you do during that time? Well, part of it is dying to self. Dying to self. Remember, when you're dead to self, you're dead to compliments and complaints. For example, if we had a horse that was dead up here, I can stroke that horse and say, good horsey, and it wouldn't affect it, not any bit. If we had a horse that was dead up here, that'd take up a lot of room, by the way, I could elbow drop the thing, and it won't do a single thing. Why? Because it's dead. When we're dead to self, we're dead to both compliments and complaints. David had to die to self. Even though the people are saying hurtful things, and not just saying hurtful things, they want to do hurtful things to him. He has to die to that so that way he could keep looking to the Lord. He has to die to that to keep doing what he said. I know the people are upset, but I have to do what's right. I have to set that aside. Dying to self is hard, but part of getting us to the place where we start, to the place where God wants to use us, is we have to learn to die to self. By the way, that includes our dreams, our ambitions, our goals, our desires. They must die. Why? Because they're ours. And God will replace them with his goals, his dreams, his desires for us. Now, sometimes his desires will be the desires we had in the first place, but they have to die because they're ours. And then we have to realize what his desire is. Does that make sense? That's a hard thing to do, to die to your dreams. Isn't that what Disney teaches all the kids, that all your dreams can come true? Well, that's opposite of what the Bible says. They can't be your dreams. They have to be what God has given to us. They have to be God's thing. We have to die. Again, David was told, you're going to be a king. Now, what person wouldn't like to be told, you're going to be a princess, you're going to be a king, you're going to grow up, and you're going to be royalty? Well, that sounds great and all. And you can imagine as a young shepherd boy to start thinking about that. I'm going to be king. When I become king, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And to come up with those plans. But those things have to die. You know, at this time right here, he is so far away from the palace. He is so far away from stepping foot to being king in his eyes. It is impossible. That has to die because it's impossible. What's really funny is that in about a month or two, he's going to be king. The same campaign, the Philistines, at the moment while he's going through this thing at Ziklag, the Philistines are killing Saul and his sons. And David is going to become king. But he doesn't know this. He looks like he's so far away. He's so far away. And he has to die to his dreams. That last glimmer of his dream dies. All he's doing now is saying, God, whatever you want, you have to be. I'm now surrendered to you. My dreams, my goals, my desires, they have to die. They have to wither until they're dead. God brings us to the place of desiring to know what He wants for our life. That's part of dying to self. Is God not what I want? What do you want for my life? At Ziklag, He refines us with a hot fire of loneliness. You know, loneliness is one of the worst feelings, to feel like you're so alone. You know, you could be alone inside of a crowd. But God uses this idea of loneliness to bring us to the idea of coming to the Lord, to realize an absolute reliance on Him, that I have to trust Him. So we're talking about, in order to get to Jerusalem, David is now going through Ziklag. And at Ziklag, he has to learn to encourage himself in the Lord. At Ziklag, he has to learn that he has to die to self, that it's all about the Lord. Then at Ziklag, we seek divine direction. We seek divine direction. Notice with me verse 7. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. What happens is that David says, I need to know what God wants for me. Here's a man that had been so self-willed, so brave, so courageous that people followed him. He was a natural leader. And so it was natural for him to rally around his troops. He could have easily said, you know what, I'll take care of this myself, and could have tried to rally the troops. Let's go get them, boys. But what he did is he stopped and said, I need to find out what God has for me. And so he took Abiathar, who is the high priest, and he is the person, the mediator back in those days, the high priest. And he carried a special ephod, a special chest plate for the priesthood that had inside of it something called the Urim and Thummim. And you were able to ask questions, and God was able to give a little bit of a divination of direction from this. So David went and grabbed the preacher and said, all right, I need direction. I need to come from the Lord. Help direct it. And so he sought after God. He didn't say, let's rise up and fight. He said, I don't want to take another step until I know what God wants. And then God said, pursue, you're going to take it all. And the Bible says they did recover it all. But you know what? More than they recovered it all, they got to the place where David was supposed to be. And again, this idea that this place in our life where God takes away everything just so we could seek Him. And then we learn to say, I'm going to seek after Him. I'm not going to take another step until I know what it is. You know, God has a good and perfect and acceptable will for each and every one of us. What's more is you can know it. God doesn't want us to hope or guess or think about our will or His will. He wants us to know what His will is. He wants us to guide it. He's going to show us. Now, by the way, how do you find God's will? Is it, what am I going to do 5 to 10 years from now? No, you try to make sure you're in God's will right now. Amen. Are you 100% sure you're in God's will? Are you doing what God's, how's your Bible reading? How's your prayer life? Are you at church? Are you tithing? You know, all those basic things. Are you doing what God's told you to do right now? Then what happens is that God will, almost like a tidal wave in Genesis 24, a servant went to go find a bride for Isaac. And when he found it, the people said, how'd you find it? He said, I being in the way, God led me. You know what God does? Is that if you're in the middle of God's will, it's like being in a tidal wave. He'll automatically bring you to where you're supposed to be at. You don't have to go find it. You just have to be in it. And God will bring you to where you're supposed to be. That's part of seeking after God. And God has to bring us to the place where we're willing to say, God, I'm not worrying about tomorrow. I'm trying to worry about today. Am I where I'm supposed to be? And then what happens is that years later, you go back and say, how did I get here? I didn't do this. I didn't, you know, go storm the castle. God put me here. That's where the best place is that God will automatically bring you to where you're supposed to be. Just are you in God's will right now? And again, all of this experience at Ziklag was to get David to the place where he was looking after God and say, it's not my will, but God's will. I know that everyone else has abandoned me, but I'm looking for God. I know that I have to encourage myself in the Lord, that no one else can give me the encouragement. I have to go to God myself and get the peace that God offers for myself. You see, on the road to Ziklag, God said, you're going to be king. But before he could get to Jerusalem, he had to go through this Ziklag. He had to go through this thing here where God brought him to the place where he lost everything. He lost, again, Ziklag. He went back with his men and the city is burnt down. His wives, his kids, and all of the families of the people are gone, just ashes. And the people talked about stoning him. What did he do? He had to say, Lord, I need you. He had to go to God to get encouragement. He had to go to God. He didn't see anything good around him. He just had to believe that God was still good and God was still right. But yet, this was necessary. Remember, this whole series is talking about treasures in darkness. That the worst things that could ever happen to us can turn to be the greatest things that happen to us when we're drawn close to God. For David, this is the worst incident that occurred to him on his route to go to be king. But it ended up being the best thing because this was the last bit preparation he needed. Because what's going to happen in a month or so, he's going to be king. 7 years later, he's going to be king of all of Israel. And he didn't lift one finger to become king. He was just following where God put him at the moment, and God brought him to the palace. But this is a necessary lesson for all of us, because there are going to be times where you're going to have to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. You can't say, you can't depend on someone else and say, all right, you got to encourage me. You're going to have to learn to go to God yourself. There are some times that you're going to have to learn to die to self, die to your dreams, your ambitions, your goals, because they're yours. And say, God, whatever you'd have for me, that's what I want. There are going to be times that you're going to have to learn that you need to seek God's will for yourself and allow Him to choose for you. Do you know that God leaves His best to those that leave the choice to Him? Let God choose what's in your life. The best life you can have is if God makes the choice for you. Let God do the choosing. Say, it's all you, God. You know what's better. Don't let me pick because I'll mess things up. But we're going to go to these times, and they're going to be the greatest things that ever happened to us when we learn to depend on Him. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.